Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time, except it looks like YouTube is not working right or something. People on YouTube, can you hear me okay? Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you this morning for another devotional time in God's Word. We're in Psalm 79 this morning as we continue to make our way through the Psalms. And I realize next week I'm going to be away again. It's General Assembly for the PCA next week, so I will be away in St. Louis with one of the elders from our church, Sean Troutman. So I will not be presenting Psalms in the morning next week, but we'll be doing this morning Psalm 79 and Psalm 80 on Friday, and then, Lord willing, we'll pick up where we left off on Monday, July 5th. So we have Psalm 79 before us this morning. It's another of the Psalms of Asaph. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this new morning that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. We pray that you would bless our time together and that you would help us, Father, to be attentive to your word, to receive your word by faith, to respond to your word with love to you. And we pray that you would teach us and build us up in your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I may or may not have picked up a new coffee mug on my vacation. Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. Albus Dumbledore. And of course we know who the light is, and we need to turn to the light of the world. And so we're talking this morning in Psalm 79. It's a lament. So it is a time of great darkness for the people of God, and we will see how they are able to turn to the Lord and trust his promises and look to him for light, even in the midst of great darkness. Here's Psalm 79. It is a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the bodies of your servants to the birds of the heavens for food, the flesh of your faithful to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a taunt to our neighbors, mocked and derided by those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your anger on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call upon your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Let the avenging of the outpoured blood of your servants be known among the nations before our eyes. Let the groans of the prisoners come before you. According to your great power, preserve those doomed to die. Return sevenfold into the lap of our neighbors the taunts with which they have taunted you, O Lord. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. Amen. What a great psalm for us to remember together. And it's obviously a very, very dark time in the life of the people of God. It's about as low as it gets, right? What's happened here? Well, this seems to have been written in the aftermath of the Babylonian conquest and destruction of Jerusalem. That seems to be the most likely place where this has been written. And that was, of course, a incredibly dark day. Just terrifically horrible. Beyond our comprehension. Most of us have, I don't think any of us, have lived through that kind of devastating destruction. To see the servants of God, the priests, the Levites, the people of God, just hacked to pieces by swords and their dead bodies left out for vultures to come and eat, and their blood being poured out around the city walls. I mean, this is just extreme violence. And then, of course, the city is left completely devastated. And they're left open to now the taunt of their neighbors, because the neighbors who are still around them see what Babylon has done to them, and they mock them. They say, look, where is your God? What? I thought you guys were the people of God. I thought you were the holy nation of the Lord Almighty, the Almighty God, God Most High. Where is he? I mean, look around you. You guys have been absolutely, completely devastated. There's no way that your God is real. There's no way that your God is strong. There's no way that your God has power to save. And so this is where they are. They're left in a complete and utterly devastating time. And so Asaph asks the Lord, how long? How long will it be? Now, you could look at the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and say this was well deserved. It was a long time coming. Yes. Yes. But we know that God's heart toward his people is fundamentally a heart of compassion, of mercy, of loving kindness. His heart toward his people is a heart of forgiveness, that when he disciplines his people, when he judges his people, he does so reluctantly, after a long period of time, after much patience. And so he judges them, and Asaph knows that God must have in mind that this will not last forever, and that God will again be gracious to his people. And so Asaph's angry, he's hurt, he's stunned by how, you know, Jerusalem has been attacked so savagely, because while it's true that the people of God have been unfaithful to the Lord, these nations that have conquered the people of God, the Babylonians, they don't know God at all. They're not God's people. They only worship false gods. And yet they've been able to devour Jacob and lay waste his habitation. So there is here a great prayer. What do we do in times when we are devastated? What do we do in times when we feel overwhelmed by the darkness? Look at this model for prayer from Asaph. After he's poured out his lament before the Lord, where does he go? He asks for forgiveness, for help, for deliverance, for atonement. Do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Here he's asking for forgiveness. Yes, we sinned. For many, many, many years, the people of God sinned. But Asaph here is leading the people of God in seeking God's forgiveness and compassion and help. Help us. O God of our salvation. Now, we have commented several times before about this word salvation in Hebrew, which is Yeshua, which is the same as the name of Jesus. In Hebrew, the name of Jesus and the word for salvation are the same word. So help us, O God of our salvation, O strong and mighty one of our salvation that will ultimately come in Jesus, for the glory of your name. It's always the glory of God's name and the good of his people. That's the heartbeat of God. You know, the heartbeat has two sounds, lub dub, lub dub, lub dub, lub dub. It's the closing and opening, the closing and opening, the closing and opening of the heart. So there are two notes in the heartbeat of God, the glory of his name and the good of his people, the glory of his name and the good of his people, the glory of his name and the good of his people. And so whenever we're aligning our prayers with the heartbeat of God, the glory of his name and the good of his people, our prayers, we know, are in alignment with his will, and he will answer according to his wisdom. So help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Now, ultimately, how would God answer this prayer? How would God deliver them and atone for their sins? Through Jesus Christ, through Jesus, the salvation of God. That's how this prayer is answered. Not just by, you know, the Babylonian Empire being overthrown by the Medo-Persian Empire, and then Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, coming along and issuing an edict that the Jewish people can return to their homeland. And then later, Artaxerxes issuing a decree that the temple could be rebuilt, the walls could be rebuilt, and Nehemiah and Ezra leading this effort to reestablish the worship of God and rebuild the walls. All of that is great. All that's a wonderful provision of God within history. The edict to return to the land, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the walls. These are wonderful things that we should celebrate, but we should not lose sight of the fact that none of those things were, in fact, the ultimate answer to the prayer of Psalm 79. Psalm 79 was ultimately answered when Jesus came as God in the flesh, the salvation of his people, the manifestation of the glory of God in human flesh. And he made atonement for our sins. He made atonement for our sins. And so, why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Ultimately, whenever anyone who's an unbeliever, a skeptic, an atheist, an agnostic says to us, "Where is your God?" the one place we must point them is to Jesus. Yes, we can talk about creation, we can talk about the design of creation and the need for God as an explanation for how the universe came to be. Yes, we can do all that. But ultimately, when an unbeliever asks us, "Where is your God?" we need to point them to Jesus, because he is the salvation of God. He is the incarnation of the glory of God. He is the deliverance and the atonement for the sins of God's people. And he is the answer to the prayer of Psalm 79. "Let the avenging of the outpoured blood of your servants be known among the nations before our eyes." Now, where's the answer to this? Verse 10. Well, the answer to this in verse 10 will come when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, there will be the final avenging of all the blood of all of God's people that have been spilled by all the violent opposition from the world over the centuries. God will make things right. God will establish eternal justice when Jesus comes again. And so we can wait in expectant hope for that day. And so he repeats his plea. "Let the groans of the prisoners come before you, according to your great power. Preserve those doomed to die. Return sevenfold into the lap of our neighbors the taunts with which they have taunted you, O Lord. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise." And here we sit, some probably 2,600 years after this psalm was written, many generation to generation has gone by, and we are still the sheep of his pasture, and we still give thanks to him forever, and we still, from generation to generation, recount his praise. Listen, God never said that his people would not suffer. In fact, God said the exact opposite. The Apostle Paul says, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." There is not a promise of peace and security and health and wealth in this life. There is actually a promise that we receive the kingdom with much persecution, what Jesus said. you receive these things with many persecutions. So the world is always going to hate us. The world is always going to mock us and deride us. The world is always going to try to come into the church and corrupt the church. It's another level at which we can read this psalm. The nations have come into your inheritance. They've defiled your holy temple. The world wants to come into the church and defile the church. Sometimes they want to do that by pushing a political agenda that would conform the church to the world, make the church a useful tool in the hands of the world and its power struggles. And sometimes it just is corrupted through worldliness and sin as, you know, awful things come into the church through the world and there's the defilement. But in all of these things, whether it's persecution or whether it's the politicization or whether it's the pollution of the church. See, I came up with three P's there. So whether it's the persecution or the politicization or the pollution of the church by the world, in all of these things, we can look to God and we can know more than Asaph knew. We can know that God has made atonement for our sins, that he has provided deliverance through the one who is our salvation, Jesus, that Jesus is the incarnation of our God who has stepped into the world, and we can continue to give praise to him as we look forward to that day when he will return and make a final end to all evil and bring final justice and rest for his people. That's our hope. It is always and evermore in Jesus, what he has done, what he is doing now, and what he will do when he comes again. Amen. Well, we're going to close in prayer now. I want you to join with me today in praying for our friends Jacob and Carol. They're missionaries, and they're trying to get home for a furlough and a visit. And so they need a work visa approved by the government of the country where they are. And so please join me in praying for them, for Jacob and Carol, to get their work visa so that they can come home for furlough to get the rest and the refreshment and the fellowship and the re-energizing they need to return to the field in the fall. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your unfailing love and your strong salvation. Thank you that Jesus is the incarnation of the glory of God and is our salvation, the one who has delivered us and made atonement for our sins. Thank you that he prays for us now at your right hand, and thank you that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead, and every eye will see him on that day. Father, strengthen our faith in Jesus. Help us to cling more tightly to your promises found in your word, to the hope that's given to us in the gospel, to the glory that awaits us in the future. Even as we cry, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We do pray for Jacob and Carol, Father, that you would provide the work visas they need quickly so that they can finalize their plans to be able to leave and come home. We look forward, Lord willing, to seeing them face to face and being with them later this year. We pray that you would allow that to happen. Please open the way for them. Please encourage their hearts with your love for them. Please help them to rest in your sovereign care over them. Father, we look to you for this and for everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me this morning, and look forward to being in Psalm 80 together on Friday morning. Have a blessed day in the Lord.